This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible Ask. No, it's not an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. This is just a regular Thursday. Where we're talking about immigration stuff. Ooh, more fear and pain for the communists. That sounds good. Democrats have a language problem. I will discuss why. The Bureau of Prisons director got the axe. And it appears we are going to get to see the RFK files, the JFK files, the MLK files. Now, I wanted to talk about that for a moment. And I'm sorry I've got to be this guy. But I've got to be dad. Daddy Jesse's back for a minute, okay? And you know what dads are. You know, my dad, I told you that story before about the car I wanted. I had been busting my butt. Every job you could do, I had done because I wanted to buy my first car. And I drove by the car dealership in Montana, Bozeman, Montana. Keep in mind, it's currently a high of -4, or at least it was a couple days ago, but that's the kind of weather we're dealing with here. Only I drove by the dealership, or we drove by the dealership, and I saw the most beautiful Cadillac convertible you've ever seen in your life. It was a 1956 blue Cadillac convertible, and it clearly had been redone because the leather, the white leather on the inside was all perfect. And all I could picture as I'm looking at the car is how cool I would look when I drive up and down the road, even though the top would be up forever because of the Montana. But and then all the chicks, they would love me because look at this car. And I mean, everything's about girls when you're that age. And I wanted this car so bad, and I actually had enough money I could almost afford it. And I asked my dad, and he said no. And I said, why? You know how much it costs to fix that car? You don't have any money. What are you going to do with that? You can't fix that car. You can't even afford gas. Go get one of these rice burner cars. It gets 35 miles per gallon. I mean, it's that's how my dad spoke. What, Chris? That's how the man talked. And fun sucker dad denied me that purchase. And he was right. We hate dads when they do that, right? So I've got to step in here. We're excited about the release of these files, the RFK files, JFK files, MLK files. And it's good what Trump is doing. I'm pleasantly surprised. I can't believe he's just going through with it right away. Just boom, you can have them. First, it's going to be a little while. He signed the order today to have those things declassified. It might be, I was told 45 days by someone who would know, but it's going to be a little bit. So you're not about to wake up tomorrow morning and read the JFK files in the New York Times. And it's good that he's doing it, because if there is any chance to reestablish the bond between America's institutions and America's people, then the corrupt institutions must open their books. There is no other way. No more cover-ups, no more lies, no. You open up the books, show us all the things you've done. That's how trust is earned back. You don't demand it, you don't cry, nope. You earn it by being open and honest, open the books. So it's good. However, the juicy stuff is not going to be in there. I know what you're dreaming about. It's the exact same thing I'm dreaming about. You're dreaming about the same thing I dream about because you're the exact same as me. I want to open up the JFK files on my iPhone tomorrow morning, and I want to read about which specific CIA agents were involved in blowing JFK's head off. I want to know it all. That's not going to be in there. And let me explain why. What do you know about the, we've done the assassination of Joe Colombo on the show. We'll just use a couple of examples. Joe Colombo, he was an Italian mob boss, surprise, surprise, head of the Colombo family, and he was assassinated. Who assassinated him? A dude who was a black dude who was really into guns, had allegedly a history of mental illness, but he is thought to be the one who killed, well, he is the one who killed Joe Colombo. He killed him in a crowd. And then a bunch of people killed him immediately. And to this day, we don't know who killed the black dude, which is weird because it happened in a big crowd of people. Was it the cops? Was it Columbo's bodyguards? We don't know. But when that black dude died, with him, died any ties that can lead back to who actually paid for, ordered, and organized the assassination of Joe Colombo. That's why they pick people like that. Why did Lee Harvey Oswald get mowed down by, what a patriot, Jack Ruby, right out there in the open, 5 minutes after he assassinates JFK? Well, when Lee Harvey Oswald died, so did any ties that would lead back to anyone, whoever you think did it. Alexander the Great's father, Philip II. He's at a party. A knife gets shoved in between his ribs. As he's dying on stage, the man who killed him takes off running. Remember, he's running. We're not even in the era of cars yet, let alone planes, right? The dude is on foot, and at best, he's going to get to a horse, which he did have a horse waiting for him. But either way, you're going to catch him eventually with enough people. That's the way it works. But they didn't catch him. They killed him immediately. And when he died, any ties back to the people responsible died with him. When powerful people kill someone, and that is the history of the world, businesses, governments, generals, when powerful people have access to people who will murder for them. In fact, if you have money, you have access to people who will commit murders on your behalf. Please don't do that, but you do. If you have money, you can. You can have someone killed. It's not hard to find. And powerful people, if they're powerful enough and smart enough, when they have somebody murdered, they sever the ties permanently. They don't leave it up for imagination. Speaking of the mom, Carlos Marcello, you ever heard of him? Every single one listening to the sound of my voice in New Orleans right now, they're all nodding their heads. The rest of the country, probably a little fuzzy. Carlos Marcello was the Italian mob boss who ran New Orleans, ran it with an iron fist. He was, you never heard of Marcello? Oh, dude, he's one of the most powerful ones in the country. Had the entire city on lockdown. Anyway, Marcello, what he would do when he wanted someone killed, you want to talk about evil, diabolical, and genius? There are these things. This is probably a negative racial name, so I don't know whether or not someone will yell about this, but there are these people. They were called Zips. They were known as Zips. In fact, they're still known as Zips. Who were the Zips? They were Sicilian criminals, Sicilian mobsters, and specifically orphans. Marcello, when he wanted an American killed, he would go to a Sicilian orphanage, grab a couple of people willing to commit murder on his behalf, bring over to this country a couple Sicilian orphans, so no parents, no one's going to be looking for them, no one knows them here. They would go carry out whatever murder he wanted committed, and then Marcello would pop, kill them, kill the two Zips, two or three Zips, however many he brought, and just like that, there's no crime you're ever going to solve. And no one's going to go looking for the two Sicilian orphans. The JFK files are not going to be what you want them to be. Are powerful interests involved in the assassination of JFK? Well, honestly, I don't know specifically who did it. I've told you my theory on it, but I think you'd have to be pretty naive to think that that was a one-man operation with all the background. It'd be pretty naive to think that. I mean, Jack Ruby, noted connections to the mob. The guy used to be an enforcer for the Jewish mob under Meyer Lansky. I mean, come on. But you're not going to get names. You're just not. You're most likely not even going to get organizations called out specifically. What if, and I don't know this, obviously I suspect it, but what if the Central Intelligence Agency was involved in the assassination of JFK? I doubt very much you're going to read about that in the JFK files, because anyone who could have led back to the CIA, anyone who could have laid the breadcrumbs back to the Central Intelligence Agency as being the responsible party for the assassination of an American president, anyone who could have left those breadcrumbs died not long after JFK died. That's how assassinations of powerful people work. We want to imagine that it works like it does in the movies, where if you want to take out a president or something like that, then you hire the world's most elite assassin who had special forces training, and he'll take the shot from 6 miles away from a hot air balloon. That's not how it works. They find the local moron on drugs and whatever. They manipulate him. They get him to go commit basic suicide. And then if he happens to live, which he never seems to do, they fire a bullet in the back of his head and chuck him in the river. And there, the crime will never be solved. That's how his powerful people are assassinated. What, Chris? Oh, Chris. Chris thinks LBJ killed him. And you know what's funny about this, Chris? My father, one of the things that drove me insane about him is he was always right about everything. No matter what he said, he ended up being right. And we all talked about it to this day, how it drove us nuts. My dad, to the day he died, said, oh, it was LBJ. My dad agreed with you. I was LBJ. I don't know. Maybe we should talk to someone at Pure Talk about it. I don't think they're going to have any inside knowledge about who killed JFK, but at least you'll be speaking to an American. Because Pure Talk, my cell phone company, they hire Americans. Does yours? When you have to get a hold of someone at customer service, you want a new phone, service, whatever it may be, do they speak English? Do they understand English? Is it pleasant when you speak to them on the phone? Or is it... I know what it is. Switch to Pure Talk. The patriotic cell phone company. You don't sacrifice service. They're on the same 5G network. And the customer service is wonderful. And right now they're giving out free Samsung Galaxies with qualified purchases. You want a free phone? Your phone's old and busted and cracked. Switch your cell phone service. Keep your number. Get a new phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250. Say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I am sorry I had to be Daddy Jesse and let everybody down about the JFK files and whatnot. I'm excited to read them, too. I'm going to nerd out on it, too. It's not like I'm separating myself from it. I can't wait. Maybe they forgot and left a little nugget in there, but those nuggets are not going to be in there. It's still... it's a very good move by Trump. You want to start restoring trust, start opening the books. It's a good move. Now, let's do a few emails before we get back to politics. Hello, my jarhead brother, retired Navy chief. Try to watch you every morning on the first, based exclusively on your recommendation. The wife and I stopped at Glacier National Park on our way to visit relatives in Washington State. Not only did we thoroughly enjoy the park, but we sampled huckleberry pie, huckleberry chocolate bars, and of course, huckleberry shakes. Best things ever. Thanks for your culinary expertise. The menu whisperer doesn't miss. When I tell you what food is delicious and what to order, you can take it to the bank. Don't shake your head, Chris. Chris, I said take it to the bank. That should be uniquely appealing to you. Listen. Chris, have you ever had huckleberry? Corey, have you had huckleberry? Well, they grow natural up by Glacier National Park. You just can't even imagine how good it is. Highly, highly. I'm trying to think, am I better at ordering food than I am parallel parking? And I don't know. I don't know what, Chris? I don't know. It's tough. It's tough out there.
Can I get a witness?
Dear Jesse, I was just listening to the podcast. You talk about countries having... to agree to take their illegals back. I say if they refuse, we load them up on C-130s with fighter escorts, flanked by destroyers, dare them to stop us, so on and so... Okay, look, I agree, but here's what I would propose, and I'm dead serious about this. Don't think for a second I'm kidding. Trump is going to acquire Greenland. Chris, just go ahead and write that one down. I'm telling you, we're going to get Greenland. He's dead serious about it. He's serious about it, and he's going to get it. What, Chris? What? No. He's going to get the whole thing. The whole thing. He is. Greenland sucks. It's a gigantic block of ice. Have you seen how big Greenland is? Like 50,000 people live in that gigantic mass. You know why? Because it's all icy hellscape. It's horrible. It's like living on the dark side of Mars. No one wants to go there. Trump's going to acquire it because it does have a bunch of strategic significance, and Trump has talked about that. You want to close off those waters to all these Russian ships and Chinese ships. Okay, that's fine. We need camps. No, hear me out, Chris. No, listen. No, not like Siberia. These will be nicer than the ones they have there. I'm not talking about a gulag system, Chris. I'm talking about a system of prison camps where we keep people. And I think these camps should be reserved exclusively for illegals we haven't been able to get rid of yet, meaning their home countries won't take them back. We need to keep them in these frozen camps. And the other purpose, we should have dual purpose camps, government employees. Anybody, any politician convicted of corruption, FBI agents, CIA, bureaucracy. And look, I don't want separate camps. I want government employees to be in the exact same camps as the illegals they let in. And I'm not even close to kidding. You, all you corrupt scumbags, have dedicated your careers to filling up my country with a bunch of animals, and now I want you to bunk right next to him. I want the dirtball at the FBI. I want him housed next to this guy.
Man was booked into jail after Limestone County deputies say he sexually assaulted a child. They arrested Luis Lopez Martinez on Sunday. Investigators say deputies were called to arrest him after his family allegedly caught him in the act. When questioned, investigators say he confessed and stated, quote, "It is what it is." Immigration and Customs Enforcement has placed an immigration detainer on Lopez Martinez as well.
They brought that animal into this country on purpose. And not only did they bring him into the country on purpose, they knew exactly where he was the entire time. That's why ICE has already been able to arrest this guy. And Democrats brought him into the country on purpose so they can be housed right next to him. This guy is from Haiti. Just an animal, just a savage, here committing as many crimes as he possibly can. Arrested already, announces he's not going back to Haiti.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
Biden forever. Thank Obama for everything. Beep Trump. I'm not going back to Haiti. Okay, well, that's fine. We can get you to Greenland. I think work camp with coats and things like that. We don't want to be impolite. We're going to have facilities that have heat and things like that. We are not going to set up a gulag system. It's going to be a series of prison camps and work camps for illegals and government employees all mixed together. I don't want any separate camps. They can all get in this together. And then all those government employees, they can find out how wonderful all these imports are. I love it. In fact, along those lines, I want to talk about Denver's mayor next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
and I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you, you need to email the show your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I want to talk, speaking of immigration and things like that, I want to talk about fear and pain, once again, when it comes to communists. I had somebody ask me yesterday, why does the left feel so tamed right now? Because we know they're still there. Why are they not as loud as they were? What's with the lack of street protests? Even The View is kind of half-hearted. Why isn't it loud and in your face as it was before? And here's what I said to him. It was actually John Phillips I was talking to. People, in fact, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you should take a lot of credit for this. One of the things that has changed, and one of the reasons the left is so much quieter now, is the right has developed teeth and boldness, you see. For the longest time, the communists were used to being the aggressor in every single situation in this country, whether it be riot season, but really mostly in personal contacts with others. But famous communists, you know, media stars and things like that, they were used to always being the only loud ones screaming from the rooftops, taking a bold stand. And the right, for the longest time, maybe you're guilty of this. I will tell you, I am guilty of this when I look back at the way I was in the past. When you are in any kind of an event, social event, a party of any kind, and the liberal Aunt Peggy comes in screaming and yelling, I hate Trump and I've had abortions, woo! My normal response years ago was probably similar to yours, where I just kind of roll my eyes and maybe I elbowed my buddy, hey, man, let's go to the other room. Gosh, I can't stand her, right? And we all just kind of ignore her, hope she shuts up, and we let her just continue to sit there and conduct herself like an animal. Only it never worked, did it? She never stopped. She never could stop herself because the communist can never, ever control his demonic impulses. He's just a rabid animal who goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. The communist must be brought to heel by somebody. He will never, ever, 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 ever do it on his own. It is not in his demonic nature. The communist must be brought to heel. And the only thing that brings him to heel is fear and pain. He doesn't understand anything else. Fear and pain. The reason the collective leftists, the collective communists in this country are much quieter now than they have been for the last 10, 15 years is the right finally set aside that, oh, well, let's just go to the next room crap. And we started telling liberal Aunt Peggy to shut her fat mouth or leave because we've had enough of the garbage. And that's a fact. I've watched it happen in my personal life, with family, with friends. I get your emails. I've seen that people in different parties and interactions across this country, the right finally decided it had enough. No more. Nope. You are not going to come in there running your suck. Nope. We are going to have a conversation if you feel like that's going to happen. And it's working. And it's the only thing that works on the communists. And that brings me to yet another example of this. Remember Denver's mayor, Mike Johnston is his name. If you're not in Denver, you obviously don't know his name, but Mike Johnston is his name. If you should see this fruitcake. And of course, he's one of these dirty commie types. And after and leading up to Donald Trump being sworn in, but after the election, he's been loudly out there, I mean, really, really loud, talking about how he's going to protect the illegals.
Trump's new border czar, Tom Homan, has said that he is willing to arrest leaders like yourself for standing in the way of these policies that they want to enact. Would you be willing to go to jail for these things?
Yeah, I'm not afraid of that. And I'm also not seeking that. I think the goal is we want to be able to negotiate with reasonable people how to solve hard problems.
You would encourage people to protest.
I'm not afraid of that. He's come out multiple public statements. You say you're going to go to jail to protect these illegals? Yeah, you're daggone right, I will. Go illegals! Headline today from the Daily Caller. Sanctuary mayor, once willing to go to jail to stop ICE, now says he'll work with the agency. Maybe you're wondering what happened. Last night, Stephen Miller, you know, one of Trump's close advisors, Stephen Miller came out and said, just a heads up, we are 100% moving forward with, we are going to be arresting and charging any public official who commits a felony by harboring illegals in this country. He just said it. If you're one of these mayors and you're going to, it's a crime to harbor illegals. It's a crime. It's not a partisan thing. It's a crime. And you commit that crime, we're just going to arrest you too. And you'll be indicted and you'll be charged. So how did Mr. I'm going to protect all the illegals, how did that mayor go from that to, hey, you know what? I'm going to work with ICE. Hey, look, we'll come to an agreement. We'll hang out. What changed? Fear. Fear changed him, you see? He's an animal. He can't control himself. He cannot control the demonic urges that overwhelm him. He wakes up every day and he thinks about new ways to destroy one of the great American cities, Denver. And he's done a wonderful job at that, taking one of my favorite cities in the country and just carpet bombing the whole thing. And that demonic savage, he can't change that about himself. Maybe, hopefully, you know, hopefully one day he gets rid of that and changes, but he can't change it himself. His behavior, his demonic behavior, it must be changed for him. And fear and pain is the only thing that works. And we just saw it worked in a matter of 24 hours. He went from, I'm going to go to jail. Okay, we're going to send you to jail. You know what? I can work with you guys. That's how it must work. Set aside any notions of being hands-off, laissez-faire, live and let live with communists. You cannot live and let live your way out of communism. It has never been done in the history of mankind, and it never will be done. It has never been done. You must take things back from them. They cannot control themselves. You must do it for them. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, she's going to continue to destroy family reunions and these big events if you continue to remain silent, roll your eyes, talk about her behind her back. Let her know quite forcefully that she needs to shut her fat mouth, and you will find your family events much more peaceful from this point forward. I will tell you, I'm not going to get too specific here, but I have a bit of experience with this in my own personal world. And you know what the results have been? The animals, the communists, they just stopped coming. And now no one has to stress it anymore. As soon as their demonic urges were met with some degree of force, they just got quiet and walked away. And now we get to have lovely family events. That is what you must do. Jesse, you need to write a book about communism. Kids today are not taught the truth since teachers are changing words and meanings. Progressivism, socialism, communism are all being taught as acceptable. Make it change and tell the truth so these kids can understand. I believe you can do it. I should write a book about communism. What, Chris? You know what? What am I going to call it? Let me think about this. I think if I had to settle on a name here, I'd probably call it the Anti-Communist Manifesto. And I bet if I wrote it, I bet it would be a national bestseller. And if I had to, just spitballing here, I would probably sell it at jessekellybook.com. If that URL is available. I don't even know if it is. Maybe everyone should go check it out right now. jessekellybook.com. Good idea. I'll write that book. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget you can download the whole show if you missed any part of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review discussing how big my hands are. So I had to do something before we get back to politics and location, and Democrats are talking about how we have to change, how we have to speak. Before I get to any of that, I did something and I feel gross about it. So here it is. Just going to lay it out for you. Ugh, I don't like myself right now, but it did work. At Christmas time, we wanted to do something nice for a couple different sets of people in our lives. So we got a hold of this steak company. This is part of what made me fall in love with Omaha Steaks so much, because they're so wonderful. But we'll set that aside. I got a hold of a different steak company, and I wanted to send some good steaks to some people. My in-laws, and you know, we got two separate orders from this really nice steak company, and it was $300. $300. I know you should see Chris's face right now. It's $300 freaking. Granted, it was good steaks, right? There were fillets and all kinds. They were good steaks, but we wanted to do something really nice. $300 is a crazy amount of money for some food, you know. Like I told Chris, I'd get a Little Caesars 30 times for $300, but we wanted to do something nice. Ob said we couldn't get them Little Caesars, so we ended up getting them some steaks. Send it out. They just never showed up. And I don't mean they showed up late or something like that. That stuff happens, whatever. They never showed up. Okay, neither order. So they're 0 for 2. Ob did one of the orders. I did the other one from the house. So I call this place 4 or 5 times just trying to get my money back. And, you know, I need to speak to the manager. I just want just send me my $300 back. That's a lot of money. Send me my $300. They won't send me my money back. This was, well, it's Christmas, so this is almost a month ago. No money. And 2 weeks ago, I call them and I tell them, look, I need my money back. That's $300. I'm not calling and screaming and yelling, but you need to send me back my money. $300 is big. That's a lot of money. They tell me they'll call me back the next morning. Have not heard from them. That was 2 weeks ago. So yesterday, they send me an email, one of those emails, I'm sure it was automated. Hey, this is, I almost said their name. This is whatever state company. Leave us an online review. Here's a link for you. And I feel so gross right now because I never, ever, ever do this. I think maybe one time in my life I have ever left a negative online review for anybody. I just don't do it. I left them a nasty one. 1 star. And I just said, it's one of the most unprofessional things ever. Not only did they screw up my order twice, no one will even send my money back. You know what just happened during that commercial break? I just got a call from that steak company. Well, we got your online review and we're really sad. We're sorry about that. And we'll be processing your refund immediately. So you weren't going to do that until I left a review. That's the level of professionalism we're with. And that is exactly, by the way, why I love Omaha Steaks. Every single time I've ever dealt with Omaha Steaks, they're just freaking glorious and I'm never calling anyone else. There, I just had to get that off my chest. I love Omaha Steaks, and they've never done me like that. Gosh, it drives me friggin' nuts. Now, let's change the subject here. There are some Obama staffers, John Lovett, John Favreau, and they're out there trying to change things in the Democrat Party. They do this huge, dirty commie podcast called Pod Save America. It's one of the biggest ones in the country. But they are aware of a problem, and here's what they said. If we want to be a party that can win elections, we have to be a party people would want to attend. And you see a Trump rally, people are having a good time at that event, and Trump is mixing it up. And you talked about how do we take on misinformation? How about a Democrat that's doing two-hour press conferences, that's going everywhere and can mix it up with everyone, that can go on Joe Rogan, that seems like a good hang. What they're saying is the Democrat Party does not speak the language of normal people anymore. They don't. They don't even know how to. And we've talked about this before. There are a lot of reasons for that, but one of the main reasons is purely geographical. The Democrat Party, the talking points, the priorities of the Democrat Party, they are aligned perfectly with high-end academia, Columbia, Harvard. They align perfectly with high-end academia. They align perfectly with the politics of the corporate press, CNN, MSNBC, all the producers, the hosts, or whatever. They all live in the same place. They're all in New York. They're all in LA. They're all in Atlanta. They're all in DC, every single one of them. They reside exclusively in these far left places where you will get genuine points with your social circle if you're pro-tranny enough. And they take those talking points and they try to spread them to the masses. And then they're just flabbergasted at how quickly they have been rejected by the rest of the United States of America. All of us are susceptible to being influenced by the people we are surrounded by. If you move to Paris, France, tomorrow, eventually you would pick up some of the French mannerisms, some of the Paris mannerisms, some of the language, accents, things like it's inevitable. If you lived, worked, and worshipped around those people, you would begin to emulate them. And you would begin to lose touch and lose perspective with the place you left, wherever that place happened to be. All of us are susceptible to this. But the Democrat Party has so isolated itself, it's so siloed itself on college campuses, which has really become where the brain trust is, the far left Maoist college campuses, that now these people sit down and they do these TV shows talking about the cringiest ways they can connect with normal America. Remember when Dome tried to do this? She got Tim Walz and they sent the poor guy out pheasant hunting and he couldn't even load his shotgun and it all looked really forced. Hey, I'm Tim Walz and this is how I change my oil and shoot some pheasants. Oh, dang, this shotgun must be a little old. And it looks bad. They really are in the wilderness right now and I love it. Trump said something else at the World Economic Forum. We'll talk about that. Let's talk about saving a baby's life first. Let's talk about preborn being the hands and feet. Not just saying we're pro-life, being pro-life. Preborn is how we actually save the lives. Preborn, they set up their pro-life clinics in the highest abortion areas in the country. They don't play it safe. They walk right into the heart of Buffalo. And they say, hey, young lady, how about a free ultrasound? And if she hears that heartbeat, she will choose life almost every single time. And they don't run out on her then. Hey, thanks for coming in. Good luck. If she needs help, they help. She needs diapers, formula. If she needs to some sort of a shelter from an abuse of some kind, rehab. Preborn is there ensuring lives are saved. And that's what you do when you give to Preborn. And it's freaking tax deductible. How great is that? Give them whatever you want. $28 saves a life. Give them $28,000 if you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We still have an hour. Hang on.